Good morning, sir. Could you please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. Daryl Gainer, 099565.
Okay, Mr. Gainer, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your hearing lead today, sir. I do want to let you know that you do have one supporter here, Ms. Angelina DePasso.
DePasco.
Yeah, okay. That's here too, sir. I'm going to go over some information with you, Mr. Gainer. If any of that information that I go over appears to be the wrong information, you certainly have a right to object to it or either just correct me on it. I also want to inform you that we do have a letter here from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, dated December 21st of 2018, opposing your release or any parole commentation, okay? Mr. Gainer?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're still there with me, sir. So I'm going to go over some information with you, then you can certainly correct me on that when you get the opportunity. You're here actually currently serving a 35-year sentence. You became parole eligible on June 28th of 2017. Is that right, sir? Is that your understanding?
It was 2017, yes, sir. Yes, it was December 2017.
I see that you have an earned release credit date of September 19th of 2019. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Is that your understanding? You are serving several sentences. Many of us was running concurrent for some armed robberies that were committed here in the city. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're currently 58 years old at the time right now?
Yes.
Okay. I see that the last discipline that you received was in October of 2017 for threatening. And that appears to have been involving one of the officers at DOC, a CO3. You want to tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. This board had given me home arrest in 2017. And what had happened was I had been paroled 3 months, and I'm under the old code, and there was some difficulty in processing my release, and I would never threaten anybody after I've been given parole. But I went to the office and asked, you know, had anything been done so that I could go home, and they said no. And I just kind of walked away, and, you know, I told the CO3 there, I said, well, you know, I would like to speak, you know, to a supervisor to see, you know, if anything could be done because I'm scheduled to go home and nobody's doing anything on it. And he wrote me up. That's exactly what happened. I would never threaten anybody. I have no history of that in prison. I understand that I have a violent crime, but I've never been in any violent confrontations like that. Even in my crime, you know, 27 years ago, I took a dull kitchen knife and I threatened some businesses for money because I was using cocaine. For that, I'm eternally sorry for and apologetic. And when I got out of prison, I started a small business and the owners trust me. And I got satisfaction from that. I was attending church, yoga, meditation, that practice teaches awareness, which in my opinion is the greatest agent for change. And I understand why this board is conservative, because you guys got your job cut out for you. Just being back in prison, there's so many things going on here that I don't really understand anymore. Violence, drug addiction. I never had a DWA in prison, you know. I was violated for drinking. I went to AA. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I had a violent crime, and I understand why they put me on home arrest, but I submit to this board that even though my crime was deemed violent, I'm not a violent person. My prison record has shown that I've been an outstanding inmate, and I never physically hurt anyone in my life. I had a couple fights in prison to protect myself 10, 15 years ago. But, you know, I'm basically asking this board to parole me because I have a good chance at success. You know, my father had stage 3 lung cancer. You know, he got over that. I lost my son while I was in prison, my mother, my sister, my brother. I've been in 5 bands. I'm a singer. 22 years in prison. I never had a dirty UA. And I'm in the IHP program, integrated housing, because I don't have any problem living with anybody. But, you know, I want to be able to continue with my small business that's out there and just be able to be a normal citizen again, you know. That's what I want to do.
Okay. Well, Mr. Gannon, I want to go over some things with you because you did have a parole hearing in 95, which was a special hearing that was not recommended to the governor. But in 2014, sir, you were granted home arrest in 2014. And then on May of 2015, you were granted regular parole. And then looks like on November of 2016, you had a special hearing, and then you were revoked in 2016. November of 2016, and then in July of 2017, you were granted home arrest again, sir. And then it looks like you had a rescission hearing, home arrest rescission hearing.
Oh, there you go. Now we're hearing you.
You couldn't hear me. What did you not hear, sir?
Oh, 1 moment. Hello, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Okay. So what did you not hear? What was the last thing you heard?
The last I heard was you said you're going to go over some things.
Okay, so you in 1995, you had a special hearing that was not recommended to the governor. Then in October of 2014, you were granted home arrest. Then it looks you came back before the board on May of 2015, and you were granted home arrest, regular parole. And then it looks like on October of 2016, you had a special hearing, and you were revoked in 2016. And then it looks like again in 2017, you were granted home arrest. On December of 17, you had a recession hearing, and the board did not rescind you. But you came back on May 30th of 18, you had a home arrest revocation. Is that right? Is that about right?
Yes, sir. I was granted home arrest in 2014, and I got out. And after 3 months, I had a car, a bank account, I had a job, and I was out for a year. And after a year's time, I took a drink. I took 2 drinks, and I was put back in prison for 17 months. And I went to AA. I completed AA, and I still go to AA at this time. I don't drink anymore. And so when this board granted me home arrest again, I got out, and I was only out for a couple months, and there was a miscommunication with my parole officer because my color came up, and I got violated while I was at home. My color came up for task, and I have seizures, and so I was on my medication, and I called him, and I said, my color has came up, and I'd like to be able to go and take a UA. He says, I'll give you between 4 and 5:30. And so it was a brand new place that I had never been before, because a month before that, sir, I had already did a UA, and it was negative because I don't do drugs and I don't drink anymore. So after getting permission to go to this place, I called the place, and they said, well, we closed at 5 o'clock. We're a new facility. So I texted my PO. I called him back. I texted him. I called him. No answer. And then I just sent him a text saying I would like to go to this different place because this place is about to close. And so I said, and I would like to go to this different place. And so I said, you know, my roommate has my bank card, and she should be here in a few minutes, you know, and I can leave. And so an hour and a half later, he texts me back and says, "You're trying to test me." That's exactly what he said. He said, "Show up at my office in the morning." And I said, "Okay, I'll be there. I don't want to be in any trouble." So after I showed up, I was put under arrest for not taking his order. But the only thing I was trying to do was trying to go and test at a different facility because the other one was closed. I didn't even get a chance to leave home, and I was only out for 2 months. I'm not making excuses. That's exactly what happened. I provided the text messages to this board for everything. I kept in constant contact with my parole officer. I even stopping to get gas because I have my own vehicle. I have a valid driver's license. And just stopping to get gas, I would say, "Sir, I'm at the corner of such and such. I'm stopping to get gas."
Okay,
but this was not my regular parole officer. My first parole officer, he took a leave of absence, and he didn't have any trouble with me going to where I need to go to get my medication and things of that such. But I don't want to say anything negative about the other parole officer, but he was a little bit more staunch, and he told me that he didn't want me on his caseload because, you know, I had a lot of medical problems at the time. I was having seizures, and I was on some medication that had me quite drowsy. But I was only out for 2 months, and this is why I'm back here now. I didn't come back for absconding, committing a crime, no dirty UA. I was at home when I got violated.
So did you go, my understanding is that you didn't go take that UA. You didn't even go to the second place even though you were given permission.
Yeah, yes sir, you're exactly right. I was given permission to go take the UA, but as I told him, the place was closing. I called the place, it was a brand new facility, and I called the place. I said, and after they told me we closed at 5 o'clock with a brand new facility, I immediately contacted my parole officer. I called him, there was no answer. Called him again, then I texted him with a different location for another UA place, because they all closed at 9 o'clock except for that one. And so I never got a chance to leave home. I would have taken a U. I have no problem. But then when they arrested me at the parole office, I went to Alhambra the next day and they tested me and I was negative. So I don't do anything. I don't do drugs or I don't drink. And so that was just a big misunderstanding. And I understand home arrest is very, very strict. You know, I get that. You know, but I didn't do anything to deserve coming back to prison. Because I've always accepted responsibility for everything I did. You know, I still am ashamed and immediately apologetic for what I did 27 years ago when I took the adult kitchen knife and threatened people for money. You know, I'm going to live with that for the rest of my life.
Okay,
you know, I would never do anything like close to that again. And since I had been out, I was out a whole year before I took a drink. You know, and I tell a lot of guys that's been in prison for a long time, once you get out, you have to watch every step because life is going to take you in different directions. And after I got out, I found out I had a daughter I didn't even know anything about. She contacted me. My father had stage 3 lung cancer. My grandmother had died. And that's why, if I'm being honest, and I am, that's why I took a drink. But I won't do any of that stuff anymore. I'm done with all that. I just want to conduct I have a small cleaning business that's hanging on by a thread. And I just want to be able to service these small businesses because these people trust me. I'm on a contract. You know, there's thousands of dollars worth of electronic equipment. You know, I clean these offices at night. I created that on my own, going door to door with some small business cards I had made up. You know, people trusted me. And it made me feel like that I was back in society doing something right again. You know, and I want to get that feeling back, you know. I made the only mistake that I really made that deserved coming back to prison for was drinking. And I don't do that anymore. This particular time, you know, I was contacting my PO every step of the way, and I provided text messages for this board. And as soon as I got there, they arrested me. And
so why was it, Mr. Daniel, that you wouldn't let him look at your phone?
Excuse me, say that again, please?
Why was it that you would not give the parole officers the code to your cell phone?
Oh, I did give him the coat to myself. I told him it was a Z. I was already in handcuffs at the time, and I gave him the code to my phone. It was a Z on there. And after that, right after that, I don't remember anything else because I had a seizure right there in the office, and the ambulance came, the paramedics came, and after that, everything was a blur. But I gave him everything that he needed. I would not not willingly give up any information, you know, withhold any information from my PO. I know that's a recipe for disaster. And I was on home arrest. I would never do that. I gave it to him. It was a Z on the phone. And right after that, I told him, I said, I'm about to pass out. Because when I'm about to have a seizure, there's a metal taste in my mouth and everything gets blurry. And next thing I know, there are paramedics standing over me. And after that is when they took me to Alhambra and they tested me the next day and it was negative. And
okay, well, they say that you gave them a code to get into the phone, according to the report. But then after they got into the phone with the Z, you had another code on there that they couldn't access the phone, sir.
Yes, sir. That's about with the time I passed out.
Okay.
That's about the time I passed out. Because I have seizures, and I'm on Keppra and another medication, and the seizures had gotten worse, but now I'm on the medication here. I take it in the morning and the afternoon, and it's getting a lot better. But the only thing I remember was the Z. The Z got him into the phone, but there was another access code, and I didn't remember anything after that. I would have gave him whatever he asked for, because I'm not going to try to buck any system or do anything inappropriate where a parole officer is concerned. Because that's what he's there for. That's his job. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm just listening and
Yeah. I gave him all the information. Because even when the supervisor told me, he says, if you had communicated to me that you were feeling dizzy that day, because I took my medication right before I came, I took all my medication to me to the parole office. And I also, before I even went down there, the day before that, I got my medication, I took a picture of every medication that I had and I sent it to them. And then when he told me to come down there the next day, I took all my medication with me to prove everything. So I wanted to be completely transparent because I know how this works. You know, I didn't want to leave anything. And he said, well, you know, you didn't tell me that you were dizzy and that you were tired. And that's just something that I had left out because I didn't think they were going to violate me for just staying at home waiting on his directive because, you know, he didn't even know that my color had came up. I called him and told him I needed to take a UA. He didn't know. And I called him, and like I said, once I called him, you know, I couldn't get in contact with him, and I kept texting him. And finally, he said, go between 4 and 5:30. And something told me that I've never been to this place. Something told me, call this place and make sure. I always want to do that. I always want to be sure, because I don't want to make any mistakes. So I called the place and they said, we're a new facility, we close at 5 o'clock. And after they said that, I immediately got off the phone. By that time, it was like 4 o'clock. I immediately got off the phone and I called my parole officer and there was no answer. I texted him, there was no answer. And then I sent him the address via text messages to the other place that I could go to that closes at 9 o'clock on 7th Street in Phoenix. And I waited an hour and a half later, and he sent me the text and says, why are you testing me? Show up at my office in the morning. And I showed up, and that's when I was arrested. I showed up with all my medication and everything, you know.
Okay. Let me, I just want to just check something real quick. And Mr. Knauss, you may can help me with this, but it looks like he has a...
Provisional
date of March 19th, in May of March 19th this year.
I thought it that's in May.
No, it's 3/19.
Because this one says 5.
May I say something? I had called to ask that...
Hold on, I'll let you, because I don't need to record it. I'm just looking here. This is March 19th.
Oh, yeah, it's different.
And then it's right here, March 19th.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why these are different. It's either March or May.
Okay.
But he wouldn't be released that day.
Yeah. Ms. Pascal, come on out, too. Come on out.
Hi, my name is Angelina Pascal. I had called TimeCom to get the, because Daryl had told me that he would be audited before he would actually be released, if the board released him at this time. And they had no idea how to figure out his time because he falls under the O code. When they did figure out the time, the dates, Daryl felt that it was incorrect, so I called back, and apparently all the paperwork that he signed when he was sent to Tucson to integrate the inmates housing program, none of his good time was given back. They had nothing at TimeCom showing that he would be entitled to that, so they gave me a new date of May 21st when it was actually March. And when I first called, they gave me a date with his early release credit of February next year. So we've got all these dates, and I would like to know where I can go and get the correct dates.
So TimeCom is part of one who's responsible for actually doing that. So that's where it would actually come from.
But none of them there know how to calculate the old way.
The administrator.
They will come up with how that's done. Now, what I have, according to the documentation that I have, it looks like March 19th of 2019 is what I see.
That's what it started off to be.
Okay, that's what I have on here. Unless that date changes, we can only go by this date. If TimeCom comes up with some time that he gets back, then they could change that date. But we here, for the board, we can only go by this, and if you continue to work with TimeCom, they're the ones who do all the compilation of the census.
I called in before Thanksgiving, they had given me his early release date, which was February 21st of 2019, after they did all the calculations.
But that could be it. I can only go by the documentation that we have here, which has March 19th. On the documentation that I have here. There's also another documentation on his AIMS form, I think, that has May.
That was printed later, so this was December. So they're still working on it.
They're still working, so I don't know. I'm going by what I have here, and so I have no idea exactly what that exact date would be. But is there any other information you'd like to present to the board?
Well, I also would like to let you know that he has lived with me since he left his brother's house after he got off of house arrest a few months. He came and stayed with me because I moved into a townhome. When he came up for release, they would not allow him to come back to the house because they said that he violated there. And I couldn't understand that. When the parole officer allowed him to come, then he got information saying that he couldn't come. He would have to go to a halfway house.
Well, that's strictly up to the parole officer. I specifically remember his last parole when we actually came there and he got paroled, and really explaining to him in detail that he has to, you know, follow the directives of his parole officer. We also, I'm looking at the form to see that, you know, there was some definite talking to him to say that he was not to drink any alcohol or be involved in any alcohol, and that the PO was to violate him on the first time, first missed or violated UA that he would actually have, that he would actually be paroled. And that's because his crimes were committed.
Exactly.
While he was intoxicated, he was doing drugs and drinking alcohol, which led to these crimes being committed.
Well, I'm not making an excuse
yes.
for him. I do know that the medication that he took for his seizure that day, when He got up with me, because I had to be at work so early, and had a cup of coffee, ate a little something, took his meds, went to bed. He said he was going to go back to bed because it made him drowsy. I come home for lunch, he's still asleep, and I had already knew that his color came up because it came to my phone. So, and he knew it too, because it hit his phone and my phone. So at like 4:30, he asked me what time I'm getting home. I said, well, you know, I don't know. You know, it could be early one day, late the next. Because I do work for FedEx, and I deliver and pick up, so I can't give you an exact time. So he said, well, the task that they wanted him to go to was down the street. It's a new facility, Indian School in I-17. And it is now, as what I found out, it's now open till 9. But at the time, it was open just till 5. And I told him, I said, well, let the parole officer know that I can, when I get home, I can take you. Well, then he found out that the I-17 and Indian School closed at 5. I said, well, I'm at the station now. We're not going to make it. So that's when he called. I told the parole officer that he'd go to the one on 7th Street. I do know that he says that the medication makes him very drowsy, and driving would not be, he didn't feel like he could drive himself to the one down the street from the house.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say, there's conflicting stories. The story that when he got violated, his story was is that he didn't have gas money in order to go.
And well, yeah, because I'm the one who's going to drive. I had a bank card.
He said that you had the bank card, so he didn't have gas money to go. He didn't say anything about medically not being able to drive, just that he didn't have the gas money to be able to go, and you had his car, and he only had enough money, enough gas in his car in order to go. And then that's the conversations that was taking place between him and his PO, and then subsequently, he didn't go, and then when he did go to the parole officer the next day, you know, he not only had that problem, but when he went the next day, he had $20 in his wallet.
I gave him.
You know, so he had
$20. Yeah, she gave me that.
He had $20 in his wallet when he went the next day, and then he had the issue with his cell phone. I don't know why he didn't really want them to get into his cell phone, but there were some issues with that, and that's a combination of what
Hold on, sir.
So that was just it, but is there anything else, Ms. Pascal, you'd like to present to the board?
I mean, in any situation, I believe that in any situation, that good progress will come out of it. Like he has said, he doesn't drink anymore. He does not like the medication, but he's going to have to take it. You know, there's no getting around it anymore. I just feel that the parole officer that took over James Berg's caseload was not as, he was black and white. He just didn't, where James Berg understood, like Daryl said, he'd call him, and this one was cutthroat and didn't even notify me till not Friday when they took the, I went a whole night and a whole day without knowing where he was at. I mean, I was smart enough to know that they probably took him into custody. I just didn't know where he went. And Alhambra was closed at that time. And the officer didn't call me until, the parole officer didn't call me until Saturday afternoon. And I had already went over there early in the morning. I saw his vehicle there. So he just, and then his vehicle had to stay there till Monday. So that meant I had to take another day off of work to go down to pick up his personal belongings. And then when I asked him, he was just very rude. All I wanted to know, he was disobeying the direct orders. That was it. That's all he told me.
Okay, let's see if the board has any questions for you. Okay, Ms. Pascal, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Gannon?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're coming back to you at this time. I see that you wanted to say something.
Yes, I want to comment on the $20 bill and that situation. That arose when I texted my PO and said that I didn't have enough gas money, because that day that my color came up, I wasn't scheduled to go anywhere because I was on an itinerary on home arrest. So I wasn't scheduled to go anywhere. And so Mr. Pascoe had my bank card, because she buys dinner one time, I buy dinner one time, and I wasn't supposed to leave. So I wasn't going to go anywhere. And so when I texted my parole officer and told him and asked him, can I go to the other place to test that, I also informed him that Mr. Pascoe had my bank card, and that you know, I didn't have enough gas money because I had went to the place of my itinerary the previous day. And so the $20 that I had the next morning is what I had her stop and get that she gave to me so I could have gas. So that's what they found in my wallet. So I didn't lie, and I wasn't trying to be deceitful or anything like that. I just wanted to clear that up.
Okay. All right, sir. Let me see if the board has...
Hello?
Mr. Gannon, let me see if the board has any...
Hello?
Sir, can you hear me?
Sir? Hello?
Can you hear Mr. Johnson, sir? Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, can you all hear us now?
Oh, okay, I can hear you. I can hear you now. Are you still there?
Yes, we're still here.
Okay, yeah, I was just saying before the phone cut off again, it went down again. I was just saying that I wasn't trying to be deceitful or hide anything at that particular time. Mr. Pascoe had my bank card because I wasn't scheduled to go anywhere, and the $20 she stopped at my bank account to get the money from me, because I still have my own bank account and my own car and everything, and she stopped and got that money so I could have gas money that next morning on my way back from the parole office. I was going to stop and get gas. That's what that was all about.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Let me see if the board has any additional questions.
Mr. Wilson, I don't have any questions. I'm going to make a comment which may not be appropriate. But I know that, the last time you came before this board, you were the chair at that time, sir. And I know that you explained each time how important it is for anyone who's going on home arrest or parole, especially from arrest, that they're still inmates. And I think that sometimes we can't blame the parole officer. I think sometimes we have to just think as an inmate, what can I do and what I cannot do? Because I know, Mr. Johnson, every time the Honorable Mr. Johnson does one of these, he's right on every time. That's the one thing that he explains. But you're still an inmate. But you're just out, but you're an inmate. And I think that created some concern, I'm sure, on the part of the parole officer. I'm not defending him because I don't even know who the parole officer was, and I don't want to know. But I think that sometimes we just have to obey what is being said. And I believe Mr. Johnson for each time doing that, and I know you did it with you. I remember when you came before us before, because I mean the last time you came before this board, and I just wanted to say that, Mr. Johnson. That's all I want to say at this time, sir.
Okay. Mr. Gannon, the board is getting ready to go into discussion, sir. While we're in discussion, we will make a determination on what to do with your parole. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board that's relevant that you have not said and without repeating yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. I'd just like to say that I understand exactly what Mr. Wright just said. Home arrest is tough, and you have to obey your parole officer at all times. And without making excuses, that's what I was doing, and that's what I thought I was doing. And if given another chance, there will be no discrepancies whatsoever at all. You know, if I have to go sit in a parking lot while the place is closed because he told me to, that's what I'll do. But I was in fear of, if I go here, I'm going to get violated because I'm going to a place where it's closed, and I'm definitely not going to the other place that I gave him the address to on 7th Street because I didn't get permission to go there. So I was kind of caught between the proverbial rock and the hard place. But if my parole officer tells me, if this board grants me parole again, if he tells me to go to this place and sit there, that's where I'm going to go. I thought I was doing the right thing, and I always want to do the right thing, and I just want this board to know that as they deliberate whether I can come home or not.
Okay, Mr. Daniel, the board's going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, I need you to stay on the line so you can hear the discussion taking place. Let us know if the phone cuts off and you're no longer able to hear us. But we need you to remain silent other than that, that the board, while the board's in discussion, okay?
Yes, sir.
Come up to the mic.
I'm just like...
So repeat your name, Nicole.
Oh, Angelina DePasco. I hope and pray that the board will, if you do grant him parole, that you grant him general parole. House arrest is awfully hard, and I understand the reason why you guys do it when they first come out, but he wants to work, and he can't work knowing that if he doesn't plug in that foot monitor to, you know, with all that anxiety, he could have a seizure at work. So we do have a friend, well, he's a good friend of mine, who works for Aerotech and employed him already once before, and he said that Daryl always has a job there once he comes home.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the board's now into discussion. I remember this. I do remember talking to Mr. Gaynor and specifically talking about having to monitor because he's been granted home arrest, and then from home arrest he went to regular parole, and on regular parole he had a recession hearing, and he was continued on regular parole, and then he was eventually revoked, and just more recently he was revoked in May 10th of 2018 he was revoked. He's had an opportunity to be out twice on home arrest, and one time he was done on parole and he wound up being violated during that period of time too. This is the last time that he was violated, and there's some conflict in the information that I'm actually getting, but I would just tell you based on the information what I just heard is that the PO had noted that he had $20 in his wallet when he came to the parole office, and the parole officer said that he had the $20, and just according to Mr. Gaynor just stated that he had the $20, that he got the $20 from his girlfriend. She gave him the $20, and he was going to use the $20 to buy some gas when he left the parole office. So if he was able to drive to the parole office, I would have thought he would have been able to drive and go get his UA at the proper place that he needed to get it. There was some difference in the stories that we heard today that he had some medical reasons that he could not go because of medication. However, he told the parole officer that he didn't have the money to ask to go. But in lieu of all of that being said, he has a release date according to the documentation that we have here that's either in March or May of 2019. I think that Mr. Pasquale has a hard time confirming to what the home arrest is actually doing as well as his parole officer. I think he needs to just go ahead and complete his time. When he gets out, he won't be on any won't be on home arrest status. Won't have to come back before this board, and hopefully he'll be able to continue his job, be a successful citizen out there, and not get himself in any more trouble. I'm not sure that when they get released on the provisional, do they have to report to a parole officer? They still report to a parole officer, but they would not home arrest status. So I think that it would be best for him just to complete that time and get that out of his way so that he will be able to do that. He has an opportunity to do it. So I think that at least at this time, that's my opinion. And I have spoke to him directly about being on home arrest and the home arrest status and still being inmate when you are incarcerated at that time, and I gave him the opportunity, and this board gave him the opportunity to get back into the situation even after he had been violated the first time he rescinded. So I just think that at this point in time, Mr. Gaynor needs to just go ahead and complete his time until he has his provisional release date, which would be in a few months.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. All right, seeing no information, no comments coming from the colleagues, I am then going to move to deny Mr. Gaynor after the discharge, regular parole, or home arrest at this time. That will be my motion.
A second.
Okay, motion by myself, second Ms. Reed. Agree, Mr. Quinones.
Agree.
Well, agree, Dr. Wright. This time is 411. 412A for home arrest, absolute discharge, or regular parole. That's the type that's denied. I'm not going to mark off for 1 year since he should be out before the 6 months actually come out, so I'm not going to mark a 1 year set off. To mark the reasons for denials, that it was a serious and violent offense, trauma to the victims as they were robbed, multiple victims. I'm gonna mark that he violated his previous parole or probation. Mark his prior criminal history, repeat offender. I'm gonna, since he did have one citation that he's had, on the marker, recent disciplinary infraction. And I'm not going to mark a point of her release plan. He does have family support here, so I'm not going to mark any of those. Mr. Gaynor?
Yes, sir.
Sir, did you hear the decision of the board? The board has voted unanimously to deny you home arrest, regular parole, or an absolute discharge at this time, sir. According to the documentation I have, that you do have a release date of March 19th of 2019 when you'll be getting a provisional release. At that time, you still would be on parole, but you won't be on home arrest. Okay?
Yeah, I understand.
All right, sir. Thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Angelina.
Please turn the phone back over to the CO3, sir.
Okay.